We bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to God House tonight. As we come to worship God at the Gospel service, we are singing together our opening hymn, the hymn number 101. The hymn number 101. Blessed be the fountain of blood, and we'll remain seated as we sing. I'm going to ask Ryan Murr if he would come to commit our meeting to God in prayer.
Thank you, Ben. I wasn't just as nervous since it was Ben introducing me instead of Chrissy. I knew what sort of introduction I would have got, but we do thank you for coming tonight to our gospel service of Youth Sunday. It's good to see everyone out. And just before we commit the meeting to the Lord in prayer, I just want to pay a special thank you to Samuel tonight. I know he's not going to do it for himself, so I get to do it and he doesn't get any say in it whatsoever. But we just want to pay tribute to Samuel. As everyone knows, the year we've had, there's been a lot of rearranging, organizing, especially with Zoom. If it was left to me, I don't even hardly know how to spell Zoom, never mind open it up. But Samuel has coordinated the whole program fantastically the whole year through organizing different speakers and so on, and then whenever we get back into the church. So we just want to say thank you to Samuel, especially tonight. It was a lot of work, but work that he did unto the Lord and done very well. So we just want to say thank you for that. So we're just going to commit our meeting now unto God. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee once again that we are found in Thy house tonight. And Lord, even as we set out at the beginning of this gospel service, Lord, we just commit this meeting unto Thee. Lord, we pray tonight that Your hand would be even seen amongst each and every person who takes part. Lord, we pray that Your presence will be felt amongst us here. And Lord, we do pray that You will come and speak to hearts tonight. Lord, we thank You for even Your servant who handled Thy word this morning. We thank You for the challenge it was to our hearts. And Lord, we pray even as he comes again tonight, we pray that You will be with the Reverend Moffat as he handles Thy word once again. Lord, we pray that You will even set him on fire tonight, Lord. We pray that You will give him that power he needs to preach Thy word. Lord, we do thank Thee tonight for all the young people who will take part, for those who took part this morning. Lord, we are very blessed here in Ballymoney with a great group of young people, and we do thank Thee for that. We do not take that for granted. Lord, we pray tonight that You will keep Your hand upon each and every one of them. Lord, we thank You for even saving them. We thank You for those who are walking with the Lord. Lord, there's those tonight we know who are maybe fallen away from Thee, those who have grown up within the church and have wandered far from Thee. And Lord, we pray even tonight as this gospel service goes forward, we pray, Lord, that You would even speak to them tonight. Lord, there are names that we know in our hearts, there are family members, loved ones, friends that we can all think of. Lord, we pray that You will speak to them tonight. There are young people who are going through trials this evening that maybe none of us know anything about, but Lord, You know. And Lord, we pray that You would indeed speak to them. Lord, let them know that there is even people here at Hebron who are praying for their young people. So Lord, be with us tonight, we pray. We thank You for Your hand of goodness to us. We thank You for those who have attended this evening. And Lord, we pray that we will all feel a sense of Thy blessing this evening. Lord, we pray that You'll help Ben tonight as he would even lead the service. We pray for Aaron as he would minister in song, for Rebecca who would testify, even Chloe as she reads, Lord. But most importantly, we pray You would indeed be with the Reverend Moffat tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray You would even help him this evening. So, Lord, be with us now. Go before us, we pray, we ask. For in Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.
We thank you, Ryan, for leading us in prayer. We have a short program for tonight's service, and we have a few members of the Youth Fellowship taking part. And first of all, we're going to ask Rebecca Ray, and she's going to come to give a personal word of testimony. And then straight after Rebecca, the Reverend Park will bring the necessary announcements for the incoming week.
If you have a copy of the Word of God with you, could you please turn to Titus chapter 3? While you're looking up this passage of Scripture, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Rebecca Ray. I have just finished my third year at university. For those who do know me, you know that this is not exactly my favourite place to be, but I know that the Lord will help. Titus chapter 3, and we're just reading the first 7 verses. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As many of you will know, this year marks 70 years since the commencement of the Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster, as well as the 70th anniversary since this church was formed out in Cabra. As a youth fellowship, we wanted to mark how various aspects of church life have impacted our lives and our walk with God, with Lewis highlighting this morning how members of his family were involved in the commencement of this church. I wanted to take a different approach and show how this church's missionary mind has impacted my walk with God. I had the privilege of being born into a Christian home where my parents knew and loved the Lord. When I was younger, it wasn't something I counted as a privilege. It was more just normality that we went to church and I was sent along to Sunday school and the children's meetings. But looking back on it now, I thank God that he blessed me with such an upbringing. When I was very young, we attended Resharkin Free Presbyterian Church, and as I've already mentioned, was sent along to the Sunday school, Sunday services, and the children's meetings. My first Sunday school teacher was my great Auntie Pearlie. She was a missionary council representative for the Resharkin Church, but at such a young age, I didn't know much about what that meant. I knew the missionary council supported missionaries in some fashion, but I was unaware of their work on such a large scale. Between Auntie Pearlie's faithful teaching and in attending Resharkin Church, there wasn't a time in my life when I don't remember hearing about the gospel and my need of a saviour. At the age of 4, in simple childlike faith, I asked Jesus into my heart. As I was very young, I have little to no recollection of the moment that I was saved, so I don't remember exactly when or where it happened, which caused me to have a lot of doubts later on in my life. But during high school, the Lord gave me a number of verses from his word, including John chapter 10, verses 27 through to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. After meditating on these verses, I really felt a true peace and assurance of my salvation, that I was saved. I was under the blood of Christ, and nothing I could ever do would remove me from that position as a child of God. As we've already read in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. As you sit here in this meeting, I wonder, can you say that by God's grace and mercy you're saved, that you have been washed in the blood that was shed for you on Calvary? I trust that before the meeting is over, you too would have that peace in your heart that only Christ can bring. So I started primary school and was sent along to Ballymoney Independent Christian School. Again, I thank God for this blessing, as it was there as an incredibly young Christian that I was encouraged to read my Bible, to pray, and just learn more of God and what he had done for me through the teaching there. It was at the school that missionary work was brought to my attention on a more regular basis. Although I had never known Miss McAfee as a teacher, I remember her name being on the prayer rota each week and her visits whilst on furlough. I began to understand what a missionary did and the role they had in preaching the gospel to lost souls in foreign lands. When I was around 9 years of age, the Lord led us as a family to the church here in Ballymoney, and it was clear that the church was then, and still is, missionary-minded. As a child, the concept of a real-life missionary blew my mind slightly, but when I was able to meet people like John and Arana, Joy and Hossie, and Noreen at the missionary weekend, I realised that God was using ordinary people from my own town to spread the gospel in the wider world. This thought really helped when I started what was then Korean High School and now is Korean Grammar, as I knew being a good witness would be much harder than it ever was in primary school. Going from 18 in the entire school to 25 in a class was a bit of a shock to the system, never mind 800 in the whole school. But my mama told me to nail my colours to the door, and I was very blessed with very good Christian friends that made it almost easier to stand up for the Lord. Further on in high school, the Lord placed me on the CU committee in school, and I quickly learned that this was my mission field at that point in time. The Lord helped each of us to reach out into our school to the unconverted and to bring them in under the sound of the gospel. Although I wasn't preaching a sermon, I was still serving the Lord in the way he wanted me to. At the time, God began to call and send people from within our own youth fellowship into full-time ministry. To mention just some of them, Armin Tomasian and his family left up to take up the work in Calgary, whilst Alejandro Bernabeu had just entered the Whitfield College of the Bible to prepare for the ministry that he has just recently taken up with Vanessa and their 3 children. Of course, our speaker tonight, the Reverend Joshua Moffat, and another member of our youth, Jonathan Story, had commenced their studies and God had called them to be ministers within our denomination. These men had heard the call of God in their lives, but now we were, and still are, being asked to hold the ropes. As young people, this is something we all can do. We may not hear the call of God in our lives to enter full-time service, but we can support these missionaries and ministers, prayerfully and financially, and in any other way we can. Not all of God's people are called to be missionaries or ministers. Some of us are called to witness where we are, in our schools, our universities, and our places of employment. Everyone needs to hear the good news of Christ, whether they're down the road or across the sea. After leaving school, I started studying pharmacy at Queen's, and I really felt the blessing of God in my life. In student accommodation, for example, I was completely surrounded by people who were saved and loved the Lord. I started attending Tyndale Students Meeting, and for the past year, I have served on the committee there, along with another member of our youth, Rebecca McCauley, as well as recently being placed on our own youth committee. This is one of the many ways the Lord can use us as young people in our own churches. However, I'm in contact with many unsaved people on my course each day, and I pray that God will help me use any opportunity to speak for him and to witness for others. If you know me, you know I love a good hymn. And there's one line that's really challenged me throughout my third year of university, and it's from the hymn, "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." And it's the line, "As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free. Christ left the splendour of heaven to come to earth and died to reconcile undeserving sinners like me to God." And I honestly can't get my head around that sometimes. As a result of that, I'm constantly questioning myself. Am I living in light of the example of Christ, especially in work and in uni where I meet so many people who are outside of Christ? To close, I just want to ask those that are saved tonight, are we willing and ready to give our hearts and lives to the service of God in light of the cross and in light of what Christ has done for us? The task he may have us to do may be small, but we must be willing to do all that we can for him. To those that are unsaved, I would urge you to very simply come to Christ. I have already mentioned that it's not by our own works that we receive salvation, but by the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, for that very clear word of testimony. We do rejoice in what the Lord has done in your life, and a life that is saved from an early age, coming to Christ when she was just 4 years of age. And we trust that the Lord will use her, bless her just where she is. Now, we want to make the announcements. I have them here. I will put this back again down below just in case it gets damaged later. So welcome in the Saviour's name to our Youth Sunday, the evening service, you and the congregation and those on the internet. And I want to thank our young people very sincerely who have taken part today. Some have led, read, sang, testified, and our musicians have played. So we're thankful to Sarah and Rebecca for doing that. Just a few announcements to run through quickly. Tomorrow night, our session meeting is at 8 o'clock, and we're going to devote that meeting tomorrow night to prayer. And if you have any prayer requests that you'd like our session to remember, please send it in to me or let one of our elders know. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 p.m. And we do wish Rhys and Katie well on Saturday. It's a big day for them. They're getting married. And we know that here in the church, you will be praying for them and for the families. Next Lord's Day begins with prayer at 8 a.m. And that prayer time is still on Zoom. Sunday school, 10:30, Bible class, same time on Zoom, and our worship service then 12 noon. We come back to our study in Mark's Gospel, and then the evening service, our study on the subject of a lost eternity, the awful place called hell. The season of prayer is 5:30 to 6, and we have two announcements to make about the following Sundays, and that is Children's Day on the 20th of June, and the children's evangelist who's coming to speak is Christina Logan. And some of our children will take part at both of the services that day, as far as it lies within us. And then the special anniversary services, Lord's Day, the 27th of June. It was in the month of June, 70 years ago, when the Lord was pleased to bring this church into being out in Kebra. And we want to reflect upon that, and we want to rejoice in what the Lord has done during those 70 years. And testimony will be made to that effect, and we'll let you know more of the details as we approach that time. Then the gospel service in the will of God, we're going out to Kebra, and we hope to have an open-air service. You can be in your car, we'll preach there, and that meeting will be at 7. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings, for the missionary contributions that we mentioned this morning. And that's all the announcements I need to make. It gives plenty of time for the others to take part and for the preacher to preach the word. Reverend Joshua Moffat, we welcome you to Ballymoney. In the Saviour's name, your wife and your family, it's always a joy for Phil and I to be able to welcome Joshua back to his home congregation. And as father and father-in-law, and I speak on behalf of our wives too, we are very proud in a good sense of the way that the Lord has led Joshua and brought him into the work, and the blessings that we're hearing that has followed him in the town of Bangor, and the increases that the Lord has been pleased to give. So God bless you, brother, tonight as you preach. We'll hand it back to Ben. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, and Mr. Park as well. We're going to sing the hymn number 474 now, the hymn 474. Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Remaining seated as we sing. And minister in song, and then straight after Aaron, Chloe McCauley will read the Word of God.
Thank you. merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Please could turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and the verses 1 to 12. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accomplished him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Arcasius and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a young man named Eucytus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Amen.
We thank you, Aaron and Chloe. And at this stage in our meeting, we're going to invite our speaker up to the pulpit, and he's going to preach to us. We enjoyed his ministry this morning, and we pray that the Lord be with him even this evening.
I want to thank you, Ben, for leading the meeting so far. I want to thank you for that introduction as well. It's good to be back. It's good to be here in Ballymoney. It's our home church. It's even better to be back in a preaching capacity, although it's very nerve-wracking being home and amongst those who know you. It's one thing going to Bangor or going somewhere else where people don't know you, but it's always that little bit more nerve-wracking coming back to people who do know who you are. But it's good to be here, and we're looking forward to preaching tonight. The Lord has given us a word from the gospel. I did say to Samuel to pass on my apologies to Chloe for that reading. That's one of those readings you don't want. Whenever there's a lot of names and places in it, and you sort of get, you can get so easily confused. But Chloe, you did very, very well. But the Lord has led me to Acts chapter 20. Again, I'm going to move this contraption here. Maybe keep this so you can click it. There was one time I was preaching in homiletics class in college. That's where they judge your preaching. And the principal finished, and all he said was, "I'm exhausted watching you. You move about that much." And I just know I'd hit that thing. I preached one service in Bangor as their minister, and they had to change the whole microphone system to put a microphone on my head because I wasn't getting this one. I was walking about too much, and I'd find myself one end of the pulpit, so I didn't want to have that laptop sitting there. But I hope you're not exhausted tonight, because we're thinking of Acts 20. We're thinking of a young man who was exhausted. And I want to preach on the topic tonight of Eutychus, this young man who fell asleep. And it's a word of warning to young people who are sleeping their lives away. Eutychus, a word of warning to young people who are sleeping their lives away. And I want to just bow for a moment's prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we do thank thee once again that we're here, that we're underneath the sound of gospel preaching. Lord, we think of those words of George Whitefield when he said, "Another man might preach a gospel better than I, but no man can preach a better gospel." And Father, we thank thee for the gospel of Christ. We say in the words of Paul, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And Father, we pray tonight that by the foolishness of preaching, you'd save some. And Lord, we pray that tonight in Ballymoney, God the Holy Ghost would come down. And Lord, we'd have that joy tonight of pointing precious souls to Jesus Christ. Lord, grant it here in Ballymoney, we pray. Grant it in Bangor too, where the Reverend Greenfield ministers today. And Lord, we pray that today would be a time when God would come down. Lord, we have the young ones here. We have a sermon prepared. We've our Bibles open. We've everything in its right and proper place. And Lord, we simply pray now, send the Holy Ghost. Send a great outpouring of thy Spirit. And Lord, we pray as we meet here tonight, maybe there's a young soul, maybe an older soul on the right side of Christ, and they're sleeping their lives away. Lord, save them tonight. Lord, would you not do that work which only thou canst do? Lord, this preacher can't save. Would that I could. But Lord, we can only declare the gospel. And Lord, we pray that as the gospel's preached tonight, souls will come crying to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, grant us such joy tonight of pointing men and women to Christ. And all the glory would go to thee, our Savior, Redeemer, our gracious King. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm sure one thing that young people do, much to the maybe annoyance or perturbance of their parents, is how much they're able to sleep, or how long young people can sleep in. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but I know some young people, if they're left undisturbed, they can maybe get to 12 o'clock, maybe beyond 12 o'clock into the early hours of the afternoon. And maybe that's part, in fact, of the that the young people are sitting up maybe half the night, PlayStation, Xbox, watching something, and then they sleep half the next day because they were up half the night. But young people generally can sleep anywhere. I can remember in school, and I'm not just talking of Ballymena Academy, I'm talking of Bible College as well. The odd head would drop in the middle of class. I've been on the bus, some people sleeping, been on the train, people sleeping, been in the car, people are sleeping. Young people certainly have no problem shutting their eyes and getting to sleep. But I want to tell you tonight about a young man who fell asleep at the wrong time. He fell asleep in the wrong place. He fell asleep in church. And that's the worst place to fall asleep. And young people, older person alike, I know we're getting into the late hours of the night. I know it's evening. I know you've maybe had a busy week. But let's not fall asleep now. Let's pay attention to God and the gospel as we gather near this place tonight. I'm sure, by the way, falling asleep in church is a problem we've all faced. If I was to ask for a show of hands, I won't ask for a show of hands. But I'm sure if I did, there'd be unanimity here that we've all struggled with this. You've maybe felt it. You've come to church and the preaching's going on, or maybe it's not even the preaching. Maybe it's something else, and you feel that drowsiness settle in, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you'll pinch yourself, you'll shake your leg, you'll try and stay as active as you can, you'll change your position, but nothing seems to work. And the eyes begin to close, and maybe your friends laugh beside you as your head begins to bob. I know I always used to laugh if you could see someone's head bobbing and they were starting to fall asleep. Maybe you come to a service, it's warm and it's stuffy, and you've had a busy day, and you start to fall asleep. And that's what was happening to this young man, Eutychus. We find here in Acts chapter 20, from the verses Chloe read so well, that the Apostle Paul has gone to a place called Troas. And he's come to Troas on the Lord's Day. Verse number 7, we read that. It was the first day of the week. It was the Lord's Day. And the time came round that day for the evening gospel service. And so the Apostle Paul was decided to be the preacher. And Paul was leaving the next day. He was leaving to start a work of evangelism and to continue his missionary endeavors. And so this was a special night, a special gospel evening service. And we might draw another similarity to tonight. It was a special gospel evening service that young people were invited to. Because if you look with me at verse number 9, you'll find that Eutychus is described as being a young man. And so the setting of this text is really no different to tonight. It's a gospel evening service. Young people are here. It's a special service, different to most other gospel evening services. And young people are under the sound of the gospel. And we rejoice that you're here tonight under the sound of God's word. But a great tragedy was about to take place, and a subsequent miracle was about to take place. And I want us tonight to look at Eutychus, to heed the word of warning and the encouragement to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we often dealt in school of the rise and fall of such a nation, but really it would be more accurate to talk about the fall and rise of Eutychus, because he fell first before he rose again. And as we study this passage in Acts 20, there's a straight up and down clear gospel message for us to take home to our hearts tonight. And I trust if you're here and you've never asked the Lord into your heart, you're not saved, I trust tonight will be the night that you cry, "Lord, save me." That's our prayer tonight, that the Lord would save many sinners for his own glory. The first thing I want you to see is the sleep of this young man. The sleep of the young man. You know, in one sense, as I read the text here, and I always say this to the folks in Bangor, always pay attention to the details and the grammar in Scripture, because you learn so much from it. And as I read this account, I can't really place all that much blame on Eutychus for sleeping. And there's a number of reasons why I say that. Look with me at verse number 7. There we read, then upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart, and continued his speech unto midnight. Now, that's not how long I'm going to preach tonight, But he preached at midnight. This is a long sermon. This sermon went on for some amount of time. And when it gets to that hour of the night, some of us might begin to go to our beds at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. But when it comes to midnight, you are starting to feel that tiredness. Maybe Eutychus was a student. Maybe Eutychus had work that day and it came to midnight and he's feeling the weight of the day and he starts to fall asleep. He just couldn't take anymore. Also, please notice in verse number 9, it says Paul was long preaching. And long preaching always seems to be a turn-off switch for many people. They begin to fall asleep when it comes to long preaching. No matter the quality, it was the quantity that put Eutychus over. And then in verse number 8, we read another detail. We read there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Now, that's not your switch-on LED lights or your smart lights you might have in your home. That was lamps, blazing torches. And I want you to think of the scene that the evangelist Luke is painting here. Here's a small upper room filled to the brim with people. And here's these lamps burning, these flames kindling. And I'm sure that room would have got quite warm and quite stuffy. And I'm sure the atmosphere was pretty dense that night and the sermon going on to midnight and every factor seemed to contribute to Eutychus falling asleep. I believe, by the way, that the reason Eutychus was at the window was because he was feeling the sleep coming on and he was feeling tired and he thought, I need to get some fresh air here. I need to sit in the window and get some fresh air around me. And yet, in a spiritual sense, there are many young people who need to learn a lesson from the life of Eutychus. There are many young people who are just like Eutychus in a spiritual sense. I'm looking down. I don't see anybody sleeping yet. But there are some young people and they're sleeping to the things of God. They're taking no heed to their souls or the words of any preacher. In a spiritual sense, many young people are unconscious to the things of God. Maybe that's true for older people as well. The things of God have never moved you. They've never impacted you. You know about the cross. You know about salvation, but it's never changed you. It's never caused really an anxious thought. And I want to notice three things about the sleep of this young man. I want you to notice, firstly, it was a deep sleep. It was a deep sleep. You know, Eutychus' sleep cannot be blamed on a poor preacher. If a preacher came along and spoke with monotony, and used little variation in tone and pitch and never engaged with his audience, that would put anybody to sleep. But this is the Apostle Paul. This is probably the greatest preacher after the Lord Jesus Christ who's evangelizing on at this time. He was a preacher who preached with fire, who preached with passion, who preached with great unction from above, who preached in the Holy Ghost, and he preached with a sincere, loving concern for souls. And yet it didn't matter how loud the Apostle Paul was, or how vibrant his ministry was, or how engaging Paul was, Eutychus was asleep. And the cries of that preacher to get right with Christ went unnoticed. And I wonder, is that just like you tonight? When I was in Ballymoney, not only did we have the Reverend Park, but many other evangelists coming along at special occasions to preach the gospel. And maybe it is, young person or older person alike, that for a long time you've been, as it were, dead and sleeping to the preaching of the Word of God. I know our lives are full with many things. Young people, your lives are full with exams, schoolwork, maybe holding down a job, your friendship circles, your relationships, and you're awake and you're conscious to all these other things, and yet you're asleep to your greatest need. The greatest need you have is not crossing your mind at all, the need of salvation. And young people, what do I need to say to you? Simply this, waken up. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to get right with Jesus Christ. Because I want to remind you of something. The Bible tells us we are all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sin is taking us to a lost sinner's hell. And if we as young people or older persons alike simply lie back and say, well, I'll not do anything. I'll just coast through my life. I'll go into cruise control. I'll not do very much. And one day I'll die and I'll explain my position to the Lord and he'll let me into heaven. No, young person. No, older person. If we're sleeping to the need of our souls, we will go out into a lost eternity. We'll go out into a Christless hell when Christ could have saved you. And so, young person, older person, waking up. You have a soul that needs to be saved. You have a soul that's set on the course of hell. And if your heart is sleeping to the things of God, it's time to waken up and it's time to get to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sleeping when your soul needs saving. And here's Eutychus. He's in a deep sleep. He's unmoved by the preaching. Not only was it a deep sleep, but it was a dangerous sleep. You know, we all need sleep. We all need to rest for a while and recharge our batteries. That was so even for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord slept many times during his earthly ministry. And yet, Solomon tells us that unto everything there is a season. And there's a right time to sleep and there's a wrong time to sleep. And Eutychus chose the wrong time to sleep. In verse number 9, I want to show you why Eutychus chose the wrong time and the wrong place to fall asleep. It was during the preaching for a start. That's why it was the wrong time. But look why it was in the wrong place. There sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. He fell asleep at the window. Now, windows back in the Lord's day, windows back in Paul's time and Eutychus's time, would not have been the windows like you have in your house. Wouldn't have been double glazing. Wouldn't have been paneling. Just really an empty hole in the wall. And that's where Eutychus was. He was perched on this window frame. And then we find here in the end of verse number 9 that he fell down from the third loft. And so this window was on the third story. Now that's about 10 meters high. Now I was reading a recent report done by NASA, and NASA says that the most fatal falls occur from around 10 meters. And so here's Eutychus, and he's perched on a sure and certain fatal drop. And yet he's limp and lifeless and unaware of the great danger he's in. You know, I can imagine some lady walking down the street or some man walking down the street and looking up and seeing Eutychus begin to drip out of that window and crying out, Eutychus, waken up! You're about to fall, Eutychus! You're in great danger, Eutychus! Waken up and correct yourself, lest ye perish. And you know, really, that is the thrust of the message that I want to preach tonight. Waken up. Your soul is in eternal danger tonight. Grave danger. For if you die outside of Christ, you will be bound for hell. Make no mistake, young person, older person alike, God keeps an account of sin. And one day your sin will find you out. And if your personal sin is not underneath the blood of Christ, it's not washed away by the Lord Jesus, you will go out to a hell of despair, a hell of torment, a hell without any exits. And so, young people, I bid you in the name of Christ, waken up. Your soul's in danger and you can afford to leave it one day longer. Fly tonight. Flee to Jesus Christ and cry, Lord, save my soul from danger. And also I want you to see that it was a deadly sleep. It was deep, it was dangerous, and it was deadly. Because in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10, we read these words, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. And what the Lord's saying there is that those who sleep, when it comes to the things of God and the needs of their souls, destruction, poverty, and disaster will surely be their portion. So it was for Eutychus. He was asleep to the things of God. And very soon, his sleep would cost him his life. And what the devil wants most of all in the lives of young people and older people is sleep. He wants us to sleep, to have an apathy, a lack of concern over our souls and where we will spend eternity. He wants us not to care. He wants us not to be worried about our souls or getting right with Christ. You know, Luther once told a story. It was a little parable that he told his congregation. And Luther said that one day the devil sat upon his throne and he asked his demons, what have you been doing lately? And one of the demons said, well, I fed a band of Christians to lions. And the devil said, well, what's the point in that? They're all saved. They all went to be with Jesus. Another demon, he said, well, I caused a great shipwreck of a Christian vessel, and all those souls drowned and went out from this scene of time. The devil said, what of it? They were saved. They went to be with Christ. And then one demon came out, and he said, I have been working for 10 years, and today I lulled a young man to sleep. And Luther said, the devil rejoiced. Because young people, the devil wants you to have no concern over your soul, to not be worried about getting to the cross of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to think about eternity. And I wonder, young person, older person, are you in the deadly sleep of Satan tonight? Are you sleeping to the things of God? Are you sleeping to the need of your soul? The prophet Isaiah, he says in Isaiah chapter 60, and the verse number 1, arise and shine, for thy light has come. What's he speaking of? He's saying, arise, waken up, for Jesus Christ, the light of the world, draws nigh. And young person, I would say the same to you tonight. Awaken up out of your slumber of sin, because Jesus Christ is passing this way. And you can call out upon him tonight. You can be saved from your danger. You can be saved from the deadness of hell when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Friends, will you come tonight and say, Lord, save me? Oh, we've seen the sleep of this young man and young person, older person. You need to wake up out of the deadly sleep of sin. But then I want you as well to notice the sorrow over this young man. Not only the sleep of this young man, but the sorrow over this young man. Death always brings grief. It brings sadness. And it's especially sad and especially harrowing when it's the death of a young person. I'm sure names like Noah Donoghue, James Bulger, Rhys Jones, they all stand out in our minds. They all stand out in our collective consciousness as public, tragic, sorrow-filled cases of young people who lost their lives. And understandably, on this occasion here in Acts 20, there was great sorrow over the death of Eutychus. I'll prove that in a little moment. But I want us to think about why Eutychus' death was such a tragedy. And again, there's three reasons why Eutychus' death was a tragedy. Firstly, it was unexpected. It was an unexpected death. When someone's ill for a long period of time and then they sadly pass away, it comes not as a great shock to the family. Sometimes it comes as a relief to the family that the suffering has now passed. But that wasn't the case for Eutychus. We read in verse number 9 that Eutychus was a certain young man. No doubt, this young man was in the prime of his life. I'm sure he was healthy. I'm sure he was strong. I'm sure he was doing things just like you and I do every day of our lives. And yet in a moment, yet when he didn't expect it, God took Eutychus. And he passed from this scene of time. And young person, don't think that just because you're young, you've many years to live your life. Don't think that just because you're young that death is this faraway concept and it won't come to your front door, because we know not what a day may bring forth. Do you remember the farmer who the Lord told the parable about? And he said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater, couple of years worth of enterprise there in pulling down the barns and erecting a bigger farmland. What did the Lord say to him? He said, you're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And we're told in Scripture not to boast of tomorrow. None of us know when we shall pass from this scene of time. It might be in a ripe old age. We praise the Lord for that. But like Eutychus, it could be in the prime of our youth. It could be at any moment. Last year, Kobe Bryant, I'm sure many of you know that name, famous NBA basketball player from the States, passed away very unexpectedly in a helicopter crash. He was 41, prime of his life, healthy, all the money in the world, and yet he was gone in a moment. Chadwick Boseman, I'm sure many of you know who that individual is, a famous actor, 43 years old, passed away. What a shock it was. In our own denomination, did we not hear of the sad and tragic passing of Matthew Arnold? young man, in his 20s, gone. And we know not when death shall come for each and every one of us, but how important it is that we're ready to go. How important it is that our souls are right with Christ and we're ready for the day when the Lord will take us home. And young person, I'm telling you tonight, don't promise yourself tomorrow. Don't say, I'll get right with Christ on this day or that day. Come before it is too late. Tonight might be too late for you. Come now. The Lord said, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And come before the door of mercy closes and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let His blood wash all your sins away, because friends, His blood can wash you whiter than the snow. Every sin gone, every iniquity purged when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Oh, friends, come before it is too late. Not only was His death unexpected, but His death was untreatable. Some people have been known to fall from greater heights than Eutychus. And yet the doctors have worked on them, medication has been administered, and these people are eventually brought back to life, or they're brought back to some semblance of life. Well, I just want you to remember who wrote the book of Acts. It was Luke. Who was Luke? Well, Luke was a doctor. Luke was a physician. He knew the ins and outs of the human body and the anatomy. And what does he write of this occasion? In verse number 9, he says they brought him from the third loft and was taken up dead. That was his diagnosis of the situation. Dead. He doesn't say, well, Eutychus had some life in him, and if we administered CPR or gave him such and such a drug, he would come back to life again. He says, no, he's gone. This is a doctor speaking. He's gone. No treatment was going to work. Nothing could be done for him. He was irrevocable, without hope. And young person, I want you to realize and make no mistake that there is coming a day when you shall die. We don't like thinking about that. In fact, if you talk about it, your friends will probably say you're morbid, you're dark. But there is a day coming when you'll die. In fact, we read in Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And if you pass from this scene of time, without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, without coming to the cross, without being saved through His precious blood that He shed for you in grace and in love on Calvary's mountain, then like Eutychus, there's nothing can be done for you. There's nothing more can be done. You'll be lost forever. There's no second chances after we die. There's no last opportunities to hear the gospel after we die. If we pass from this scene of time, your cry will be too late. Just 5 seconds after you die, 5 seconds will be too late. And how important it is that now, while the Lord has given you breath in your body and life in your heart, that you come and cry out for the all-atoning, cleansing blood of Christ. There's nothing can be done for you in death, friend. You need to come now. While it is yet day, seek the Lord, for the night cometh. Oh, friend, call upon Him while He's near tonight. And then I want you to notice as well that His death was unthinkable. His death was unthinkable. The death of Eutychus disrupted the flow of the preaching that day. It stopped the meeting, obviously. And a great clamor and a noise was made. I know that because of verse number 10. Paul goes down to Eutychus's body and he says there, "Trouble not yourselves." Now, the Greek wording there in verse number 10, "trouble not yourselves," it's the same wording that's used in Acts 17 and the verse number 5. And there the Greek word is translated uproar. And so there was a great uproar going on here. And if you know the case of Jairus' daughter, you'll know that it was customary in the ancient world when a young person died, there was a great clamor made. There was a great noise made. There was a great weeping and a great lament that was made in the street. And Paul comes down and he says, stop the tumult, stop the uproar, stop the clamor. And so there was this unthinkable, horrific cry from the crowd that day. There was a great noise of sorrow because the crowd knew what had happened was an unthinkable, unimaginable tragedy. You know, all deaths of young people are tragedies. Absolute tragedies. But do you know what the greatest tragedy is for God's people? when a young person dies outside of Christ, that's a great tragedy. In fact, it's unthinkable. We don't like to think about that at all. But a young person would leave this scene of time not ready and go out to meet the Lord not ready. It's a most horrific thing. It's unthinkable. You know, David warred for many years with his son Absalom, and his son passed away one day in the Battle of Ephraim Wood. And David lifts that heart's cry up, "Oh Absalom, my son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee." You know, David wept for many reasons that day, but one of the reasons, I believe, was because he knew that that young man was in hell. And that young man was lost, and his condition could never be changed. He was a sinner lost in hell. You know, I trust there would never be such sorrow over one here. I trust there would never be that hard and difficult funeral for one young person or older person here. But that tonight, being wakened up to your urgent need of salvation, that you would come nigh to the man of Calvary, that you'd make haste to get under the blood and cry, "Lord, wash me, cleanse me, save me tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, the Lord gave a promise. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Young person, older person, if he's not going to cast you out, he's going to bring you in. He's going to save you. And come while it is yet day and make the Lord your own and personal Savior tonight. We've seen the sleep of the young man. We've seen the sorrow over the young man. But now I want you to see the salvation for the young man. Salvation for the young man. You know, this situation was utterly hopeless. Eutychus could do nothing for himself to rally round. And young people, I might say in a similar vein, you can do nothing to save yourself. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Rebecca Ray read it for us. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And young people, it doesn't matter how much you come to church or how many wonderful things you do, you can't save yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's Eutychus, and he can't do anything for himself. Here's other men, a doctor, can't do anything for him. And yet, praise God, mercy stepped in. Love stepped in. And the Apostle Paul, through the power and infilling of the Holy Ghost, was granted the ability to raise this young man back to life again. And what a picture it is of what the Lord is able to do and does do in the lives of young people who come to him. In the lives of young people dead and asleep in sin today. Again, I want you to notice three things about the salvation of this young man. I want you firstly to notice that it was loving. It was loving. Paul, in verse number 10, when he went down and fell on him and embraced him, he wasn't constrained to do that. He wasn't asked to do that. He wasn't told to go to Eutychus and to raise him from the dead. He simply went of his own free volition. And you know that word that it says he went down in verse number 10? That Greek word "went down" is the same word that the Lord employs in John 6 and the verse 38 when he says, "I am the bread of heaven which has come down." Speaking of how the Lord came down to save. And you know, as I think about the link between those two words, I think about how the Lord came down to you and me. He wasn't constrained to save you. He wasn't constrained to go to the cross. He wasn't forced there. Listen to this, church. The Lord Jesus Christ, of his own free will and volition, voluntarily gave himself on the cross of Calvary. He willingly went to that cross. He willingly took your sin and took my sin and bore those nails and took the wrath of God that he might save sinners from sin. He wasn't forced to do it. He wanted to do it. He willed that he would do it. He didn't have to pay the price for the guilt of your sin, but he did. And in love, praise God, Christ came down for you and me who were dead in sin, that he might raise us to life again. And the cross is the greatest example of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a hymn, "In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, in love he lifted me. And even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And not only did Paul come down to this man, but he also embraced the young man. You notice that in verse 10, he embraced Eutychus. By Hebrew law, in those days, that meant that Paul would have taken uncleanness to himself. Paul would have been deemed by the law, you couldn't touch dead bodies. So Paul would have become unclean by embracing that young man. And as I think about that, did the Lord, when he came down for you and me, not take on our uncleanness? Did he not take on our sin and our shame when he bore our sin and sorrows at Calvary? You know, another thing I notice here that was loving is that Paul didn't charge the family. He charged no price. He simply did this freely. And that reminds me of how the Lord justifies us freely by his grace. He asks no cost from you, young person. He asks no price from you, older person. He simply says, come and be ye saved. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what I want you to realize tonight is that you have a loving God, a loving Savior, a loving God who's all too ready to save. He's more ready to save than we are to be saved. And tonight, I trust you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the Savior knocks upon your heart's door in love, that you'd accept the free, loving gift of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only was it loving, but it was life-giving. Because in verse number 10, we find that the life of Eutychus returned into him. His life is in him, said the apostle. That which was dead is now made alive. You know, we read in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're all dead in trespasses and sins. In fact, we're born dead. We're born dead in sin. But Jesus Christ can give you life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Lord said of himself, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And young person, there's deadness in the world. There's deadness in your sin. But I can assure you tonight, praise God, there's life in Christ. There's life in the Savior. And you can have life, life, abundant life. He can give you a new heart tonight. He can give you a new start tonight. He can give you a full change. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In Christ, there's life, life, abundant life. I wonder tonight, will you come? Will you come to the Savior? And for the very first time in your life, you'll actually start to live. You'll draw your first breath as a Christian, as a child of God, saved, washed, and redeemed through precious blood. It was loving. It was life-giving. And finally, I want you to notice that this was lasting. It was lasting. Some people might have injuries like Eutychus had, and though they might rally round for a moment and be okay for an hour or so or a day or two, weeks later they do pass away from their injuries. But that wasn't so for Eutychus. Here's a young man that lived, and that lived a lasting life. Because friends, I want you to look down here at verse number 12. Paul's leaving the next day, and it reads there, they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And so this wasn't just a spontaneous, momentary thing that he was granted life for a few minutes and then died again. His life endured. And in a spiritual sense, his life went on forevermore because he'd found life in Christ. You know, friends, tonight, the Lord doesn't promise to save you for a moment. He doesn't promise to save you just for a year or two. He promises to save you with an everlasting salvation. A love which shall never fade away. Something which the world can't take away. Paul wrote in Romans 8, 38 and 39 that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Jesus Christ can give you life, lasting life, abundant life, eternal life, when you turn away from sin and take Christ as your own and personal Savior. As I close, what lessons do we learn from the young man Eutychus? Well, we learn that there's hope for those dead in sin. There's an answer to those who were sleeping through life without any means of saving themselves. It's all found in Christ. It's all found in Calvary's Lamb who went to that awful cross for us. You might say, what must I do to be saved? How can I get right with Christ? Well, firstly, you need to waken up. You need to take the matter of your soul seriously. And you need to come to Jesus Christ. turning away from sin, repenting of the evil that's damning your soul to hell, and turn and say, Lord, save me tonight. I believe your blood can cleanse me. I believe Christ is enough to save me. And come and say, Lord, save my soul tonight. Where once there was chaos, coldness, and catastrophe, we read in verse 12, now there's comfort. Young person, you can know the comfort of comforts tonight when Jesus Christ washes your heart from sin. There's nothing like being a Christian. Nothing like being the Lord's child. Nothing like being saved by the grace of God. Nothing like knowing your sins are gone. You've been set free as far as the east is from the west. So far your transgressions are removed from you. Young person, older person, conscious of everything we've spoke about tonight, will you come now and make the Lord your own and personal Savior? I pray and I trust that you will before it is forever too late. Amen, and I'll hand back to Ben Gould.
Thank you very much, Reverend Moffat, for bringing the Word of God. We're going to sing our closing hymn. The closing hymn is a hymn 279. 279. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while in others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Remaining seated as we sing. Trouble tonight about your soul and where you'll spend eternity, we pray that you would ask God into your heart tonight, and that even tonight that you'd be saved. But don't go away tonight without the Saviour. Tell somebody, some Christian here, that's with the Reverend Park, Reverend Joshua Moffat, tell someone tonight, but don't go home without Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message that we have heard tonight, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd bless it to our hearts. We pray that if there be any unsaved in the meeting tonight, that they would put their faith and their trust in thee today, and that even new names might be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, bring sinners to Christ, we pray, and separate us now with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We want to thank you for coming tonight, worshiping with us, and you'll be asked to leave row by row.